One of the members of Wonka Willy is David DeSanti. David helped arrange the book Music Makes Me Smile, a tribute to Con Klipple and the music of the Narial Valley. David surely had an enormous impact on the dancing, say, we know in Victoria, but also in the rest of Australia.
Oh, absolutely, yes. She's been a big influence for many years, and we in New South Wales and many other parts of the country enjoyed many of her collected works, which included that great book also, The Take Your Partners, you may have mentioned already, I guess, but there's some wonderful stuff that actually gave people an opportunity to sort of revive a lot of the old social dances that made, obviously, living in Australia a lot more fun.
Now, that's a point that I've always been confused with. These are not what you call, in the strict sense, folk dances, but they are the traditional social dances. Big balls would have these sorts of dances around.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the whole purpose of having the dance and the music, obviously, which is the bit that we do. But, I mean, the whole purpose of people spend a lot of their time, you know, needing to socialise after their many working days and stuff, and lots of the balls and the events were after, you know, typically end of shearing season or end of picking season, depending where you were. And I know back in our area, up in the Wollongong area, we certainly have had an old-time dance there, socially for the last, you know, 50 years, and you know, every second week. It was a way of people meeting together, and there was certainly lots of courting and lots of things like that that occurred, and Shirley did a lot to actually keep that revived.
Now, Shirley mentions that for a while there, Melbourne seemed to be the dance capital of Australia. This is going back in the last century. But from your experience up where you are, I think, what, the Illawarra area, there was a lot of dancing up there as well.
Oh, certainly, yeah. As I said, a lot of the communities, local communities, had their own dances, and just in our area, I know there was at least five or six within a distance of 30, 40 kilometres, and they had a routine of one dance being on a certain night. So you could almost dance every night of the week if you wanted to back in the older days. These days, sort of only every few weeks, but certainly that was a lot of people's lives, was actually getting out and dancing.
Now, I've heard it also said that if you didn't dance, you didn't get married, because that was the only way you could actually meet a partner.
Well, that's pretty true, and that's where I met my partner too, actually, at an old-time dance. So it was a great way of people getting together, and as I said, they were very, very community-based, and it was a great opportunity to meet someone in a barn dance, or in lots of the... because there weren't just couples dances, there was lots of dances that people, you know, could have multiple partners and move on, so it was a great way of meeting folks.
Now, Shirley certainly concentrated on the Narial Creek area of dancing. In your have you found other dances, sort of other areas, other pockets, say, up in the area that you have?
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, Shirley did do more than just Narial Creek. She actually, I know with Peddlers, did some trips to Queensland and found social dances there and documented quite a bit of that. And she certainly spent... We used to get Shirley to come up to Sydney and to us here at Wollongong to actually, you know, to show us some of the old steps from the dances that that were there. And and I mean, each area had its own variation of, you know, minor variations of the main dances, things like Pride of Erin's and things like that always had localised versions. And, yeah, we've certainly found a few of those in our travels, and Shirley found quite a few in different parts of the country too.
Now, you're a part of Wonga Willy, brand new CD, Australian Traditional Dance Tunes. There is a strong tradition, or you're keeping the strong tradition of dancing going yourselves then?
Yes, it's been a long-term project. It was actually something that we wanted to do a few years ago, and actually we had actually Shirley help sort of provide some in-depth information about what would be suitable, and Peter Ellis has also been a great help. And what we've done actually is picked up tunes from all over the place that were traditionally done for a lot of the social dances, and arranged them into nice sets so that people, which is music you won't hear a lot of, and that's, I guess, the big thing. There's no point in recording something that's already been done by someone else, but the new recording we've done, as you mentioned, it's got 85 tunes from around the country and arranged in 23 sets of for many of the social dances. And we've used Shirley as a great reference, her book, That Take Your Partner, as I mentioned. We've actually cross-referenced and suggested what might be useful for a certain dance with a certain set of tunes.
Now, are these tunes still played by local musicians, or had they sort of, by and large, been forgotten?
A mixture. A lot of the tunes... are current, some of them current. A lot of them actually have, you know, passed on from, been passed on from older players. People like Albert Jamieson was one of the chaps we actually met many years ago, played harmonica and had some wonderful tunes. And that's actually the magic about these tunes, is they are tunes you don't normally hear. And so we thought, they're good tunes, and if we didn't sort of record them, I guess we'll play them, they sort of certainly would die. And that's what's given it, I guess, an interesting Australian character about the tunes. You know, a lot of them may have been based in the British Isles or wherever, or Europe, as some of them were, but they've got a distinctive flavour, having come out here with many different musicians.
That's what Shirley seems to have found, is that we have the assumption, specifically nowadays, that everything is very Celtic. The minute you say the word bush dance, the general population would think Celtic music, but that wasn't specifically the case.
Absolutely not. In actual fact, it was a few years ago I actually asked Shirley, we were publishing a magazine called Speeway, which was a sort of a folklore journal, and Shirley actually wrote an article, which we've actually got to put on our CD as a CD-ROM track, actually, but it's an article talking about the multicultural nature of Australian social dance, and she sort of documents through the paper itself about the origins of many of the dances from Europe and America too. There were dances that came over from there, and also the creation of dances here, so with different influences, polkas obviously. And I mentioned earlier she'd been to Queensland, and they found a pretty big tradition of German social dancing there because of the migrants that had gone to that area. So, it is a bit of a misconception when people say, it's all British-based, but or Irish, whatever it is. There has certainly been a lot of migrants that have come to the country and brought their dances with them.
On a personal note, how did you first meet Shirley, David?
Ah, that's an interesting question. I think I met her at the Mullaney National Folk Festival back in, I think, about 89, actually, and we were starting to get to know Peter Ellis, who was interested in the traditional music, and I think Shirley was there also doing workshops, so we got to meet her there, and I got a bit enthused about the knowledge she knew, so we decided to try and see if we could get her to come up. So I put in for a grant to get her up here. Actually, it was with the Old Australian Folk Trust, which some people may remember, and we managed to get Shirley and Peter to come up to the Wongawilly Hall, the little hall we always meet in.
Now, hang on. There is a place called Wongawilly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a little village of about 20 houses at the foot of the Illawarra Escarpment, just west of Dapto. People may have heard of the Dapto Dogs, which is probably what it's more famous for, but Wongawilly is about 10 kilometres away from there, and it is a little place, and we've got... Wongawilly is not just a band, it's actually a community of people, of dancers, and we have a regular dance every week that we do, and we do a lot of the dances that were socially done, and it's basically a session for the musicians, and obviously the more serious side is the band that obviously goes around travelling and playing at balls and such, but every Wednesday we do the social thing out at the little place called Wongawilly, which is an old coal mining village.
Now, you are not scared of contemporary technology. You have a website?
Absolutely, yeah. It's shall I give it out?
Yes.
Okay, it's www.wongawillycolonialdance, that's all one big word, .org.au. So it's hopefully fairly simple, wongawillycolonialdance.org.au.
And the dance, the instructional dance CDs that you've got out, one of the CDs has a CD-ROM part of it.
It has, and it was something we just thought of at the last minute. We had a bit of space left on one of the CDs. I mean, there's 120 minutes of music on the two CDs, but we thought we'd do a bit to try and help people along. We thought it was always a great thing for the schools possibly to do, so we've included dance instructions for about at least 30 or 40 dances. There's some transcriptions of some of the music. There's some of the articles we mentioned. There's actually one about Nariel also on the CD-ROM. And the one about the traditional music, and some from Peter Ellis also.
David, thanks a lot for having us a chat about Shirley on the Old Folk Show.
No, we'll certainly miss her, and she was a fantastic asset to Australian folk dancing and the folk community in general. So she did a great job.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thanks, Ricky.
And from the CD, the Virginia Reel.